on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. New York Mayor Eric Adams, a Democrat, has met with President-elect Donald Trump's border czar pick, Tom Homan, today to talk about migrants in New York City. The incoming president promises mass deportations of people living in the country illegally. Adams tells reporters after his meeting with Homan today,
"We made terrible mistakes in the past by preventing to keep our city safe from those who are committed repeated acts of violence, particularly these dangerous gangs that we have witnessed in our city, and we're not going to continue in that direction."
Homan earlier this week says the deportation plan will start in Chicago. President-elect Trump has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. The publication released a detailed interview with Trump. More on that from CBS's Nicole Killian.
On the economy, Trump, who made curbing inflation a cornerstone of his campaign, conceded it may be difficult to lower grocery prices. He explained it's hard to bring things down once they're up, but later said this.
Prices are going to start coming down because people can't afford their groceries, and they're going to be affording their groceries very soon.
President Biden commutes the sentences of some 1,500 people and pardons 39 others.
These are nonviolent offenders, those who were released from prison to home confinement during the pandemic, and those who are giving back to their communities.
A nurse who has led response for a number of natural disasters, and an addiction counselor who volunteers his time to help young people.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre also says this is the largest number of pardons in a single day. Linda Kennedy, CBS News, the White House.
CBS News has learned a New York grand jury has started hearing evidence in the case against Luigi Mangione. The suspect in the shooting death of insurance CEO Brian Thompson is due in court on December 30th. His lawyer wants more evidence from prosecutors. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
The court will also hear an argument as to why Mangione should be eligible for bail. So all of this is a way of saying to the prosecution that the defense is going to put them through the hoops.
Nearly 2,000 firefighters have made progress in battling the Malibu fire. After charring over 4,000 acres, it's now 30% contained. But as CBS's Carter Evans in Malibu says of the mountains,
scorched black, barely any vegetation left there. And as far as I can see, that's what the mountains look like here. And that's going to be a problem when the rains come, because that means mudslides.
Some evacuees have been allowed to return home today. U.S. wholesale inflation accelerated in November. This is CBS News.
Power up the holiday and give a gift from the top of their wish list. Visit your local Steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. That's STIHLUSA.com.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
The Packers' Luke Musgrave returns. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers tight end Luke Musgrave is back at practice after injuring his left ankle against the Vikings late September and finally having surgery about 2 weeks later.
I definitely knew that I hurt it, but we didn't know that it probably needed surgery until after the Rams week.
How's your body feeling now?
Feeling good. Still getting back into it, still working into the ankle, but body feels good. Been in the weight room a lot, so it's been really good.
Some good news for the Badgers football team. Wide receiver Trek Kekahuna changed his mind last night and decided to stay at Wisconsin, but both quarterbacks, Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke, have entered the transfer portal. Baseball, the Brewers added two minor league pitchers, Grant Wolfram from the Rangers and Connor Thomas from the Cardinals. Brewers GM Matt Arnold at the winter baseball meetings in Dallas.
We're excited about having Freddie Peralta at the top of our rotation. We had guys like Tobias Myers step up. Really happy with Aaron Civale at the end of last season. There are a lot of different options there. I think we'd certainly be open to adding another starter as well.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In Yellowstone spinoff news, there will be a spinoff of Yellowstone. Deadline reports that Kelly Riley and Cole Hauser will continue their roles as Beth Dutton and Rip Wheeler in the offshoot. It looks like the two characters will survive the purge of Yellowstone cast members, as characters have been killed off prolifically in season 5. The series finale airs this coming Sunday night. Hollywood loves to speculate. Wicked and Moana 2 have been raking in big returns when it comes to the box office, and that should continue through this weekend, with Deadline.com reporting that the Moana on a sequel should be number one again with roughly a $28 million haul, with Wicked in second place at about $20 million. If that holds true, both films will crush Marvel's extended Spider-Verse Kraven the Hunter and Warner Brothers' new Lord of the Rings film, which prognosticators are saying should open at about $15 million and $7 million respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows of 5 to 10 below, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the upper teens. A chance of rain and snow showers late Friday night into early Saturday. Cloudy, rain Saturday afternoon. High mid-30s and near 40 Sunday. Currently, it's 2 below.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we are all about real news and great conversation. Stay up to date in your community every weekday with the Civic Media's Local News Roundup podcast. You can listen on the Civic Media website or subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite pods. Go check that out. I get them every day and take a listen. My next guest, her name is Michelle Kramer. She's a parent in the Menominee Falls School District who recently filed a discrimination complaint related to the removal of a book called Love Makes a Family, which represents an LGBTQ plus family. Obviously, saying that love makes a family and embracing the idea that there are different family structures. Apparently, another parent in the school district had asked for the book to be removed under a particular procedure in the school district. The book was removed. And then Michelle and at least one other parent filed a complaint basically saying, hey, by removing this book, you're harming diversity. You're adding to the hostile environment in the school district related to LGBTQ plus families and students. Michelle, welcome to the show. I'm joined by my co-host, Tom Paulswitz. Really appreciate you making time. The crux was that the school district had refused to schedule a school board meeting to hear your complaints. Where does that stand? Have you had a hearing yet before the school board?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. We filed this back in August, and it's been quite the adventure through the school district process. So we have met with the HR director, the superintendent, and then we were supposed to have met with the school board, as you mentioned, but we were denied that opportunity. They said, go right to DPI. We look forward to hearing what they say. So recently, we just kind of joined their meeting and shared our thoughts during public comment.
And that was just this week, was it not?
Yes, it was on Monday.
Monday, the 9th. Yes, it's hard to keep track of the dates these days. So were you allowed to speak? Did they take public comment during the school board meeting this past Monday?
So they did take public comment, and I believe 13 of us, like-minded parents and community members, were able to speak and share our thoughts, and that was a really cool moment.
I'm glad that you at least had that opportunity. Why is it that the school board is unwilling to follow their own procedure, which is procedure 411, which allows families to present their concerns at an appropriate meeting? Did the school board, do you feel like that procedure has now been satisfied by the meeting on Monday?
No, I don't. It should have been much more of a dialogue and conversation and exploratory together. their response to us stated that they were concerned about us being concerned about their kind of bias with making a decision at that role of the complaint, because they were the ones who made the decision in the first place. So they said, go right to DPI. But I, of course, could hypothesize other reasons as well.
Wow. Tom, I'm going to turn it over to you in a minute if you've got questions for Michelle, but I just wanted to get that last part straight. So the administrative oversight body of a school district, the school board, that has an explicit policy which allows parents to request that the administrative oversight board revisit one of its decisions, said that they were concerned about your concerns, and so they won't follow their own policy to review a prior decision. I mean, am I getting that mostly right?
Yeah, concern that we would see their decision at that level, a school board meeting, as biased because they would be the ones ruling on their own removal of a book.
Interesting. Then why have a policy that permits parents to ask the school board to review a prior decision? It makes no sense. By the way, I mean, I won't hide the baseball or hide the punchline here at all or play inside baseball. Removing a book simply because it includes an LGBTQ plus family and says that love makes a family is a biased decision by the Menominee Falls School Board. I'm going to bring my co-host Tom in here. Do you have a question for Michelle, Tom?
Yeah, a question, but I'll make an observation first. Reading the article about when you first brought the complaint, I think the school board had talked about this being an alternative lifestyle book.
Yes.
And should it be replaced by something more of a religious variety type book? And I just wanted to see, Michelle, if you had a comment on that component of what they were talking about.
Yeah. During the public comment, someone brought this up, that they had made different kinds of suggestions for books to replace, such as ones about animals and other things. I think the zoo specifically, maybe. But again, you would see all different types of families at the zoo. So I'm not sure that that would serve their purpose. But yes, there were other suggestions made.
Yeah. And then they also fell back on one of their policies, which seems to me they didn't give you a very good answer on exactly what part of the policy they were relying on. And it seems like they just want to throw this back up to the DPI and get some more guidance. But because I know that this has happened in the Elmbrook School District also, where it took one parent to question a book and it was taken out of circulation. There seems to be, a difference of opinion of how that process should work. Have you had a chance to discuss that with either the administration or the school board about a more equitable policy when it comes to this?
Yeah, I mean, so fortunately or unfortunately, the facts of this case, I think, are a little bit different than what has happened in other districts, in that the policy was actually changed after the removal of the book. And it was put online for a very short time after the vote was made. And then once we filed with DPI, it could no longer be found. So there are many things like that have occurred that we have outlined in our complaint, where things just aren't quite, very transparent or weren't done in the proper order. And that we can, say that this wasn't the right decision for these reasons of the moves that you've made.
Mm. And then what do you think is going to happen next?
I can say what I hope will happen next.
It's a good starting point. Yes.
Is that DPI will hopefully, Dr. Underlie has been an ally of the LGBTQ plus community and has been entrusted with this power of being state superintendent. And so we hope that she will see the facts of this case alongside, state and federal laws, statutes regarding protected classes and educational guidelines from DPI about content that should be available in the classroom and, assist and rule in our favor, but we'll have to wait for that.
And do you have a date on when do you think that ruling will be happening?
They said several months is what they said.
Okay. Wow. Michelle, question for you. Are you or any of the other parents planning on running for school board?
I don't think anything has been solidified yet, but it will be exciting to see who does run when the date gets closer for announcing that.
It's been alarming to me that it seems that the movement, whether we're talking about, you know, addressing the accurate record of America's history regarding race, or discussing the reality that gay people in the LGBTQ community exists, that the approach has been to literally whitewash and try to erase both our history and the reality of our present, to act as if gay people don't exist today, or the LGBTQ plus community doesn't exist, to act like families that are LGBTQ plus don't exist, to act like our nation's incredibly complicated history with race and its echoes and impacts on today doesn't exist. As a parent, not only from the perspective of a hostile environment, but just for the point of like access to a complete educational experience, what to you has been most alarming and thus catalyzing you to get involved in this way and to speak up and out?
Yeah, so there are a couple things you said right there. One, we pointed to all of that in our complaint, that, you know, our nation has come so far in making sure that everyone is included, and this is a huge setback. And we wouldn't want to do that for anyone else either. And so that was one point. One is, we've presented evidence that it's really important that kids see themselves in their education in order to best participate and engage, which therefore benefits the district in increased, you know, engagement, learning, test scores, of course, is what we look at, and all of that. So we really want all students to be able to engage, and it's for the future too. I have one in first grade now, and I have an 18-month-old that will be in the district in the future, and we want to raise them for the world that they're going to enter, to be ready to be kind, participating, you know, empathetic members of the workforce and the communities that they live in.
One last question for you, Michelle. Have you or any of the other parents in the district considered leaving the Menominee Falls School District because of these sorts of policies and these kinds of trends?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that has come up for some of the families, and it's been difficult to listen to because, you know, the families I've been in touch with are really awesome contributors to the community. They're teaching their kids kindness, to be good friends, but also participating within the PTO and things like that, and school sports. So it's hard to hear that this decision is affecting, you know, whether people want to be included in the district or not.
Mm. What difficult choices for parents.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. Very difficult. Michelle, did you feel like that you and the other 12 parents that got up to speak about this issue, do you think it swayed the school board in any sense?
No, I also don't think that was our goal either. I don't think we had any hopes that they would, but I think that it was to get awareness out. You know, I think that 99% of the people I've talked to are supportive of this and are like-minded. And so just making sure that people in our district, but others, know about our efforts, and so that we can work together to keep this moving forward.
Excellent. Folks, that's Michelle Kramer. She's one of the parents who filed a discrimination complaint with the school district of Menominee Falls back in August. It took them until just this week to have the school board actually hear their complaint. My best of luck to you, Michelle. I speak for Tom as well on this. With your complaint, I hope DPI gets back to you. And happy holidays to you and every parent and family in the Menominee Falls School District. Folks, when we come back, we're going to be joined by a very special guest. Have you ever tried to get a degree while working and parenting? My goodness, my guest just did that and is graduating this Saturday. You know him well, and so do I. You're not going to want to miss this. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Shh. Want to hear a secret? But you have to keep it between us. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is currently accepting nominations for the WBA Hall of Fame. We would like your help in nominating one of our community's best, Chuck Gennaro. Here's where you come in. If you or someone you know was directly affected by the work Chuck has been doing during his 30-plus years with WFHR, send an email describing the reasons you want to nominate Chuck to Laura Berg, laura.berg@civicmedia.us. Thank you for keeping this our little secret.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to stay put, everybody, because my next special guest isn't quite here yet, but he will be joining me at the bottom of the hour. If you're a parent that has ever juggled finishing your degree and parenting and working and all that stuff, you know how hard it is to get that to that magic graduation day. His graduation's coming up on Saturday. He's going to join me at 3:30 to talk with Tom and I about the experience and his journey. Do not miss that. And of course, Dom Salvia comes back at the top of the hour. He's going to drop a keyword on you so that you can participate by texting that keyword via the Civic Media app in Civic Media's grown-up gift grab bag text to win contest. Lots of fun prizes for you all. And from Chippewa Falls, you had a question about this last segment. Please go ahead.
Hi, Maggie. I just want to make a comment to Michelle. You are a hero, Michelle. You just keep fighting for what is right. I'm so proud of you for calling in. We are definitely going backwards. I'm a former teacher, and this is just appalling to me. The white Christian nationalists now have the power because of Project 2025 and Trump. And I'm so glad I'm not teaching anymore. But I'm telling you, these young people that have children in school districts, my hats go off to you. And I just want her to know that I'm so proud that she called in, because you can't tell me that there's not one Republican out there that has a gay child or someone from the LGBTQ plus community. Shame on them. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks so much, Anne. I think Tom and I would concur wholeheartedly with that. Speaking of bought and paid for elected officials, how about that for a transition? Axios had a headline just yesterday that said, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema give their final middle finger to their constituents as they leave the Senate. Tell us what that's all about, Tom, and your take on their votes.
Well, the National Labor Relations Board currently has a majority of Democrats compared to Republicans. So they tend to be ruling based more on workers' rights than, quote, corporate rights. And this was a way to lock in that Democratic majority moving forward. And there was a vote, which was there was a lot of pressure put on by unions and other people to get Schumer to actually hold the vote in the Senate. And it looked like it was going to be close. But I think it was implied that Manchin and Sinema would be voting for this. Mm-hmm. But by the time it actually came closer to the vote, Sinema voted no. And Joe Manchin was nowhere to be found. So it was 49-49 at that point. And then word was received that Joe Manchin was running back to the Senate in order to cast his vote against having this person continue to sit on the board. And when you think about that, it has nothing to do with their constituents. The current people they represent, it has everything to do with their corporate donors who said, we would like you to give us back some of the rights that we want to have, like being able to classify people as contract workers versus employees, and being able to basically, you know, allow people to work overtime without necessarily having to pay them. And and you and I have talked about money in politics a lot, but I think the bottom line here is this was an obvious vote to take care of their donors. And it was a direct insult to the people that voted for them in the beginning. And there are no consequences because they're on their way out.
Of course. And the idea that Joe Manchin, who represents West Virginia, would not take a pro-labor vote. And it's not like he was actually making rules as the NLRB. He was voting to confirm a nomination for Lauren McFerrin to serve another term on the NLRB, which would have kept Democrats in control of the NLRB for another year or
so.
For 2 years. Thanks, Tom.
Yep.
So, like, there's no downside. There's literally no downside for him to do the thing that would be better for West Virginians. There was no downside for Kristen Sinema, except maybe if you're actually thinking about your next job in the private sector and pleasing your corporate overlords that may be the ones deciding how much you earn in your next job. It's absolutely ridiculous. By the way, Sinema hasn't been around or cast a vote in the Senate since Thanksgiving. But she came back for this one.
Made it back for this one.
And Joe Manchin was like across town in D.C., as you mentioned, and had to like rush back because had he not done so, they would have had a tie and it would have gone to VP Harris.
He did a John McCain in the weirdest way possible, right? He showed up at the last minute and said, no, I'm not for the workers. Thank you very much.
It's just, it's literally an embodiment of why money in politics is totally wrong, right? And I don't care if you're a Democratic big money donor or a Republican one, it's equally corrupting. But the reality is when our tax system allows someone to acquire so much wealth that they can spend $10 million a day every day for 100 years and still have nearly $150 billion left, money in politics will, of course, screw the middle class like that, like dot, 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 like cause effect. Like that is how it works. And we can argue about tax rates and tax burdens and all like the details of that until we're blue in the face. But until we understand that we have locked corruption into our system and that we, the people, as Tom from LA likes to say, are the government and do something about this. In other words, a constitutional amendment to fix this. We're going to continue to see senators and congresspeople voting against the best interests of their constituents because they have to get their campaigns paid for.
And to tie this back, what we were talking about before, when it comes to the economy, we talked about inflation, but the other side of it is wage growth. This is going to depress wage growth. So not only is inflation probably going to be increasing, wage growth is now going to be decreasing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be an even further crunch on the middle class and those of us that work. So stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz, my special guest host this Thursday afternoon. You can find him with me every Thursday for the entire show because it's more fun with my friend Tom. And now in the next segment, we got our special guest who's graduating from UWM while parenting and working, I'd say, kind of a high-profile job. We're going to hear from him next. Cannot wait.
Pretty
full-time job. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. Your farm update with Pam Yonke is next.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. New York City Mayor Eric Adams meets with President-elect Donald Trump's border czar pick, Tom Homan, to talk about illegal migrants. Adams saying,
to figure out how do we go after those individuals who are repeatedly committing crimes in our city.
After the fall of the Assad regime, a Missouri man who claims to be Travis Timmerman, held in Syria for 7 months for entering illegally during a religious pilgrimage, is now free. Stacey Gardner is Timmerman's mother.
Every day was hard for me. At the church, I was crying, and I try not to, but you can't help it.
After recently pardoning his son, Hunter, President Biden has commuted the sentences of 1,500 people, and Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says he isn't done.
He will take more steps in the weeks ahead. He and his team will continue reviewing clemency petitions to advance equal justice under the law, promote public safety.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers' Luke Musgrave returns. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers tight end Luke Musgrave is back at practice after injuring his left ankle against the Vikings late September and finally having surgery about 2 weeks later.
I definitely knew that I hurt it, but we didn't know that it probably needed surgery until after the Rams week.
How's your body feeling now?
Feeling good. Still getting back into it. Still working into the ankle, but body feels good. Been in the weight room a lot, so it's been really good.
Some good news for the Badgers football team. Wide receiver Trek Kekahuna changed his mind last night and decided to stay at Wisconsin, but both quarterbacks, Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke, have entered the transfer portal. Baseball, the Brewers added two minor league pitchers, Grant Wolfram from the Rangers and Connor Thomas from the Cardinals. Brewers GM Matt Arnold at the winter baseball meetings in Dallas.
We're excited about having Freddie Peralta at the top of our rotation. We had guys like Tobias Meyer step up. Really happy with Aaron Civale at the end of last season. There are a lot of different options there. I think we'd certainly be open to adding another starter as well.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Variety reports that there will be a new version of the film American Psycho. Good Lord. Even though this doesn't need to happen on any level, a new interpretation of the novel of the same name will star Austin Butler as Patrick Bateman. The red-hot Luca Guadagnino will direct the film. Guadagnino's two most recent efforts are Queer, starring Daniel Craig, and Challengers, starring Zendaya. Both films were nominated for Golden Globes. And things a really talented and incredibly famous guy says that nobody cares about news, the great Elton John says making marijuana legal in Canada and the U.S. is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. Exaggerate much? John was recently named Time Magazine's Icon of the Year and told Time Magazine that as a recovering addict, he believes marijuana is addictive. I'm not saying when he wrote Tiny Dancer, Rocket Man, or Benny and the Jets that he was high, but he might have been high. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, lows of 5 to 10 below, and mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the upper teens. A chance of rain and snow showers late Friday night into early Saturday. Cloudy, rain Saturday afternoon. High mid-30s and near 40 Sunday. Currently, it's 2 below.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Fades.
Pivots, fades, flips. Good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app. The morning show on WFHR, it's comedy?
I think for me, one of the quick ones that I have is like telling time on an analog clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it takes me a minute.
It
takes me a minute. Now, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was at least groan worthy. At least groan worthy.
So
I needed a minute for it to sink in, James.
No, that was funny. That's good.
Every weekday morning from 8 to 10, only on 97.5 FM, WFHR.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, a review of the latest Trump transition troubles with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
back or welcome, everybody. Hope you are having a wonderful Friday Eve. Please stay warm out there. Mind the roads. There's going to be ice where you didn't think there was ice before. You got to be careful. Bundle up, y'all. I am so excited to have my next guest join me alongside co-host Tom Paulswitz for our next segment. Have you or someone you loved tried to finish your undergrad or a grad degree while working and parenting? I had friends when I was in law school and grad school that did that, and I had no idea how they got it done, because I could barely finish my degrees when it was just little old me.
Exactly.
This man is getting that done and graduates this Saturday, and his job is probably a little more high profile than most. Welcome, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. How are you, David?
I am doing well. Thank you, Maggie, for having me. And Tom, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to hear yours, too.
How long has this taken, David? How long have you been in this journey to work, parent, and get your undergrad done?
Well, the past 2.5 years, I have been back. But I started my educational journey the fall of 2006. So if we want to start from there, it's about 18 years. It's a long time coming, but definitely a sacrifice this past couple of years to make sure that I get that degree this upcoming weekend.
Well, I'll be one of the first, I hope, on public airwaves to say congratulations for your perseverance.
Thank you.
That it is really an incredible accomplishment. And I'll just say this generically without any specifics. Not all elected officials without undergraduate collegiate degrees have felt similarly motivated to finish their degrees as you have, sir. I'll just say that real generally. I've got a question for you, because as I heard that you were finishing your degree, I thought, can you keep it like on the DL in class? Like, did people know who you were? Did you have constituents being like, David, I've got the problem with the this and the thus, and can you fix this? How did that work? Was it okay? Did people leave you alone, or were you getting a lot of complaints and requests and things?
You know, I will tell you a story, and it's one of the in-person classes I had. I was in a public speaking class, which is actually a requirement for UW-Milwaukee in order to graduate. And I remember giving my first speech and volunteering to give the first speech of the class. And when I was done, all my classmates looked at the teacher assistants and were like, is that how we're supposed to sound? Is this what public speaking is? And ironically, one of my classmates just so happened to be the niece of our parks director, Guy Smith.
Wow.
So he told the class,
nice.
No, he's the county executive. And he does this all the time and all that. And the class is like, oh. And then somebody said, well, I have a question. And I was like, well, what's your question? And they asked me, what's a county executive? And so it provided an opportunity to explain to many of the students. But, you know, majority of the time, folks did not know who I was until somebody actually told them.
Well, that is both alarming and good for you also, like keeping the low profile, but
incognito.
They didn't know what a county executive was. I also will say this, David, and I hope you don't mind me giving you this feedback, I guess, as it were. You know, you and I worked together for a number of years, and you had to start as a chief CEO level elected official at one of the hardest times to ever do such a thing in the absolute beginning, the bottom, I don't know, however we want to describe it, of COVID, when so very much what was happening. And I can just say this, David, having heard you address all kinds of different groups in all kinds of different places through every medium imaginable, huge groups, auditoriums, small dinners via Zoom and Teams and people that work for you and cabinet meetings and campaign events. You are one of the most compelling and genuine elected officials I have ever heard. Full stop. And your ability to communicate as a real person and connect with people has only exponentially improved since the first time I saw you address a group of people. And it was a real honor and privilege to watch you get to an expert level, sort of speaker level. You could have taught the public speaking class. You didn't need to be a student in it. So I hope you don't mind me saying that. It is truly unique when Democrats talk about we need authentic messengers. Sir, you are it.
Yeah, I truly appreciate that. And honestly, that's one of the things that I was able to utilize my educational experience, particularly this past semester, the past few semesters, to actually do. One, introducing people, particularly younger people, to what county government does, right, and the programs and the services that we provide throughout the entire community. But the other thing is that, you know, not many individuals get to interact with an elected official or community leaders at the level of that we were able to have conversations and talk about the experience. And so it was cool to be able to humanize not only the position, but also to show many of my classmates that politics can be cool too.
Yeah, that's a great point. David, I got a question for you. So what made you decide to go back? And the second part is what was the hardest part about it? So what made you go back and what was the hardest part?
Yeah, so it's three things that really made me go back. First, you know, I'm a girl dad. I have a 17, a 7, and a 5-year-old. And for me, I wanted to be an example for them that as long as you put your mind towards something, you can absolutely do it. And then when I first started attending college, you know, my daughter my oldest was a freshman in high school. And so this gives her an example of what to kind of expect. But also now that she's a junior in high school and now getting ready to see me walk across that stage, I hope that is going to inspire not only her, but my other two daughters to say that they're going to go to college and get their higher education. The second thing was my mother. You know, I lost my mother last year in July. And when I became the county executive, my mother continuously stressed the importance of me going back to school. And I can honestly say that when I enrolled and told her that I was going back, she was just as excited than when I became the county executive. So I made sure to finish in her honor. And then the last thing is that, you know, if I'm not mistaken, less than 30% of the individuals who live right here in the entire state of Wisconsin has some level or some form of higher education. And so I want to be able to inspire and motivate not just the next generation and younger people to embark on their educational journey, but other individuals who is in the same position as me. There are people listening right now who may still have 26 credits or 30 credits or thinking about going to technical college to better themselves. And I want them to know that you can do it. You know, it will be a sacrifice related to the time, but we have to take these opportunities to kind of bet on ourselves. And as, you know, a quote that I've been living by, particularly when it comes down to my education, is sometimes you have to leap before you look and realize that you can absolutely, again, do this. And then the greatest challenge, quite frankly, was, you know, time management. You know, county executive is not just a full-time job. It's almost like a lifestyle. And I also have to take care of my daughters and my wife. But I will be honest in saying that, Tom, I wouldn't have been able to do this work related to my schooling if it wasn't for, as I call her, my better three quarters, and that is my wife. The level of support that she gave me was just tremendous. And so to see her making the sacrifices on my behalf to make sure that I got the education that I wanted and needed was just phenomenal. So those are the three things that pushed me, but also the challenge was really, you know, mastering the art of time management, because You know, I would go to school. I mean, or excuse me, I would get my daughters ready for school. I would then go to school, or I would go to work. And then if I'm coming home, depending on, you know, what my evening looked like, I spend a little bit more time with my daughters, tuck them into bed. And then after about 9, 9:30, I'm doing homework until midnight, 1 o'clock at times. And I know many individuals wait for Sunday to have football Sunday, but that was homework Sunday for me.
There you go. Yep.
I can say that sacrifice is paying off, but I can also say that I'm looking forward to getting my time back and enjoying some free time.
Yeah, and paying back your wife. I don't know if you've figured that out yet, but that's one of the main things that you're going to have to work on next, because that's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Oh, I'm paying her back. I am definitely paying her back. We have two trips scheduled for next year to show my appreciation.
Awesome.
I'm so glad. It's funny you talk about time management. My joke is always like life work imbalance and like the art of time mismanagement, and just sort of like, what is the thing that absolutely requires like the bulk of my energy? Because, you know, the ebb and flow is never perfect, right? And we make plans and God laughs, right? But again, David, I just think it is absolutely remarkable that you have accomplished this feat. I almost lost my mind trying to get my degrees done. I marveled, and I still do, at working parents that are doing it. I don't know how you maintain the energy on that little sleep, to be totally honest with you, because damn. Now, what is your degree in, and how did you decide upon the degree?
My degree is in community engagement and education, and I was actually introduced to this degree a couple of years ago, probably within the third or fourth semester when I was much younger. I originally thought that I was going to go to school and study sociology, but then someone that I knew when I was working as a community organizer told me that they think that this will be a great program for me. And so before I decided to enter into the major, I took a particular class called the Milwaukee Community. And my professor at the time was Florence Johnson. She was so phenomenal with that particular course, and introduced me to other professors within the program, that I decided that was going to be my major.
Mm. Nice. So incredible. Tom, last words for David.
You know, now that you have this degree, you know, what jobs are you looking at pursuing?
Right now, I love being the county executive. And, you know, it's really about how do I utilize this degree, utilize the experience of my education to just further the work that we have been doing. And I'll be honest that, you know, this degree has already paid dividends when it comes down to the work that we're doing, particularly as it relates to like affordable housing, how we are combating violence in the community with community prevention intervention programs, and what we're doing to focus on making us the healthiest community in the state by achieving racial equity. And so right now, this is about how do I strengthen the current position that I am currently in. But if there are opportunities in the future that I could take advantage of, I will.
I love that. Thank you so much, awesome. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Congratulations on your upcoming Saturday graduation from UWM. My hat's off to you, sir. Tom and I come back with our final thoughts for this Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked, everybody. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
At some point, you'll need to take money out of your IRA and 401k. What should you know about these mandatory withdrawals? First, they're called required minimum distributions, or RMDs, and you must start taking them when you're 73, or if you were born in 1960 or later, 75. RMDs apply to your traditional IRA and 401k, but not your Roth IRA or Roth 401k. The amount you take out is based on your account balance and age, but if you don't take out the required amount each year, you could face a 25% penalty. You can withdraw more than your RMD each year, but keep in mind that your withdrawals are taxable. When you inherit an IRA or 401k, you still must take RMDs, but you typically must take out all the money within 10 years. After you've started taking RMDs, you must do so by the end of each year. So, if you haven't taken them for 2024, you may need to act quickly. Learn as much as you can about them. You'll want to make the right moves at the right time. This is Clay Kanoke, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho ho ho!
We are the boy band.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy
band. It's painful concert number three.
We are the boy band. We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody, or welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. From real news to great conversation, we always have you covered. I've been having a great conversation and sometimes a wee bit of a tete-a-tete with my Thursday special co-host, Cardi. If you can be sure, we are put up on the stream on Facebook, X, and Instagram. I don't think... There you go. There we are. Hello to everybody out there. My very special guest co-host on Thursdays, Tom Paulswitz. He's a two-time congressional candidate and a small business owner, friend of mine and a friend of yours. Tom, I had asked on the show yesterday, and I'm going to ask this as a cue up to how do we all survive the holidays and take a break? One of our topics yesterday was, have you ever had to end a friendship or relationship because of politics? I have had to do that. Have you, and how did you manage through that?
Yeah, especially my first campaign. It was interesting because a whole bunch of people, especially in the business world, came up to me and said, well, you're a Democrat? I didn't know. And, you know, suddenly people who had known me for years were thinking differently about me just because there was a label on me. And it wasn't necessarily, I didn't change the way I spoke about things. I didn't do anything different, but they were, their interpretation of what was happening was different. And I lost some people along the way. Both my wife and I did. We lost friends. We lost some long-term friends. We made a whole bunch of other ones. But it's interesting when people who know you decide to not know you because they have perceptions because of a political label or whatever else you want to say. And I'm just a firm believer that when you sit down with anyone, you can find common ground.
Yes.
And it's usually just trying to sort through all that, because most people I've ever met, after a conversation, we can find what we're for and not necessarily talk about what we're against each other on. So, yes, lost friends along the way.
Your story is, I think, very important because it speaks to cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
And how our brain operates, frankly, all of us, from sort of almost a pre-programmed biased perspective, that people agree with me and the way that I see the world is, of course, correct. And any contrary information needs to be rejected. All of our brains work this way. And they operate this way because it was part of our survival mechanism. Our brain needs to fill in blanks. It needs to jump to conclusions back when we were hunting and gathering because it helped us assess threats. We don't live in that environment anymore, right? Like, at least
our brains don't know that, though.
Correct.
Our brains are not aware that that change has happened.
Yep. Yes. So I find it just fascinating that people who had nodded their head in agreement with you when you described things before, shared your viewpoints, once you said, "I'm a Democrat," said, "Forget you, Tom. I'm done with you." Just fascinating. Now, Tom, you do a number of things as a small business owner, and maybe some of our listeners know this, but I certainly do. You are a professional coach. You help people manage their careers and deal with change and professional challenges. So I thought it'd be only appropriate, and we may revisit this next week too, to ask you, what are your thoughts on trying to survive the holidays and as people move into this period of time? What are your best practices?
Yeah, I always start with, I learned this definition a long time ago, that stress is the difference between where you are and where
you want to be.
Yeah. You know, just taking that step back and realizing that, okay, if I'm not there, how do I adjust myself to be where I'm at and be present in the moment? And a lot of times that helps alleviate a lot of things. Sometimes you're not where you want to be, and it's not the place that is really helping you. But it's understanding that you're on a path and you're on a journey. And it's better when you have people around you that you love and respect and will listen. So whatever you need to do over the holiday season is just, you know, grab people that you haven't seen in a while, reach out to people, do not spend it alone, but spend it with other people that will listen to you and respect you and show you some love. Because it goes a long way to just being able to bring that together and have a much better outlook. Because the next 4 years are going to be fascinating. They're going to be disgusting. There's going to be a roller coaster of emotions. So just prepare yourself. But I think the best way to prepare yourself is get grounded and make sure you have a great support system.
And maybe hop off the socials for a couple of days.
Take a break every now and then.
Yeah, so important. Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz. He is my guest co-host every Thursday here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I really appreciate your time and your insights. Tom, that's going to do it for us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. But don't go anywhere. Dom Salvia is up next, my little buddy. He's got a great show that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. He's got our keyword coming up for the 4 o'clock hour in Civic Media's Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win contest. You're going to want to get that keyword, text it in via the app so you can win $100 or an overnight stay at the Chula Vista and be entered to win one of our 8 grown-up grand prizes like espresso makers, robot vacuums, luggage, and this one, which is very adult, humidifiers.
Yes.
When you've got a humidifier, you know you're an old fart, and I mean that with a lot of respect. I've got two of
them. Much needed.
Yes, much needed these days. Always remember, everybody, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Stay warm, everybody.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulationary to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing." Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
To everyone who wants a meal made just for you, let our team member Arish share what makes Culver's special.
We know the best meals are the ones shared with the people you love, like our cook-to-order butter burgers and our real Wisconsin cheese curds and our creamy, fresh, frozen custard. I put the same care into your meal that I would for my own family.
Order ahead on the app or culvers.com for a meal made the Wisconsin way.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President-elect Donald Trump's border czar pick, Tom Homan, earlier this week said the incoming administration's deportation plan will start in Chicago. But Homan stopped in another big city today, New York. CBS's Stacey Lynn with that.
Mayor Adams said the goal of the meeting was to
figure out how do we go after those individuals who are repeatedly committing crimes in our city.
And he was very clear on his plan moving forward.
We're going to protect the rights of immigrants in the city that are hardworking. We're not going to be a safe haven for those who commit repeated violent crimes against innocent migrants, immigrants, and longstanding New Yorkers.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Another day on the Hill for President-elect Trump's defense secretary pick. CBS's Torian Small reports from Washington.
On Capitol Hill, one of Trump's more controversial cabinet picks, Secretary of Defense nominee Pete Hegseth met